Says the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis. Anyone fasting here?
Next week.
Shabura says, Roiv Kehilos Noagu, most Kehilos have a minute to fast on the first day of sleep. It's half day. Half day till Mincha. He's a bit of a Rachmanas on me, Reb Nachman. Difficult questions till the end. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, says the Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Tes, third last line. Rav Ami v'Rav Asi, ki, when, have a misrami lohu, whenever they would chance upon, rifta, what's rifta? Bread. De'eruva. What does that mean, they would chance upon bread of an eruv? Says Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud. Rivta de Erva, she'arvu by esmer. In other words, it's not talking about where you found this bread in the middle of the week. If you made the Erev yesterday, meaning on Erev Shabbos, and obviously we're talking about now, you're on Shabbos. So you made an Erev with it, esmer yesterday. What type of Erev? Erev Chatzeres. So we know that the way you make an Erev Chatzeres is you put out a loaf of bread. So if on Shabbos you come across that loaf of bread, then whatever they would do, whenever that would happen to them, Rav Avni, Rav Asim, why? Omri, they said, Ho yil ve'isavid be mitzvah choda, comma, because a mitzvah was done with it. Choda, one mitzvah. Because one mitzvah was done with this bread, navid be, let us do with it, mitzvah achreti. Let us do another mitzvah with it. So instead of taking a brand new piece of bread, we'd much rather use a mitzvah bread so that we can use a mitzvah bread for the purpose of Lecha Mishnah. In fact, it's brought down that in theory what you could do is, for example, we make an Erev Tavshilin, similar concept. So there also, you could take the Erev Tavshilin Matzah, make a bracha over it Friday night, once again Shabbos morning, and once again Shabbos afternoon. Three times you can use it for a mitzvah. Now, I don't want to discuss it at length, but I just want to point out that this principle, the Chayra, could be understood in two different ways, in fact, almost in two opposite ways. How do we understand the principle that if it was used for mitzvah first time round, then we use the same bread again, second time round, also for the purpose of a mitzvah? What's the inyan? In other words, I'm taking this bread that was used in the past, why? For an Erev Tavshilin, or in this case Rashi says Erev Chatzeres. Says the Gemara, there's an inyan to use it second time round now, instead of just eating it stam, rather, Hamitzi Lech Min Haaretz, but presumably means, obviously, with the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah. What would you say is the inyan? What am I trying to achieve when I do this? What am I achieving when I do this? What's the purpose? Like, why can't I use one bread for the Lecha Mishnah and another bread for the Erev Tavshilin or Erev Chatzeres? What's the purpose in cramming two mitzvahs into one bread?
Bread's already been elevated.
Oh. And therefore, because the bread has already been elevated by virtue of the fact that it's been used for a mitzvah first time round, therefore what? You're right. Therefore what?
Degrading it to not use it again.
You're degrading the bread.
Chasher. It's more chasher than the regular.
It's more chasher, and therefore what?
It's preferable to use it for another mitzvah.
Why? You're halfway there, or three-quarters of the way there, but you said two different things there, and those are really the two different ways of understanding it. Because this bread has been elevated, fine, because it's been used first time round for a mitzvah, which mitzvah, Erev Chatzeres or Erev Tavshilin, therefore what?
You should use it again for another mitzvah.
Yes, why?
It's already up here, so it's more chashuv.
Therefore?
It has precedence.
Why? You're not explaining. Because it has chashivos, therefore what? Which mitzvah, let's put it like this, which mitzvah will be the beneficiary, as it were, of doing this? Which mitzvah will be the beneficiary?
The second mitzvah.
In other words, Lecha Mishnah, there's a maila in the Lecha Mishnah. That's how you're learning. There's a maila in the Lecha Mishnah. That's how you understood? Once his bread has been elevated, so when I'm about to make the bracha over a bread for a Lecha Mishnah, there's a maila for the mitzvah. It's covered for the second mitzvah. When I'm about to make Lecha Mishnah, I could just take from the cupboard regular. That's the question. When I'm trying to make a Lecha Mishnah, is that the pshat? That it's a kovod for the Lecha Mishnah not just to take out any old bread from the cupboard, but rather mitzvah bread. Is that the pshat? So it's kovod for mitzvah number two. There's a different way of looking at it. That's a perfectly valid way, and that's the conventional way of looking at it. But I want to be mechabed the second mitzvah. How am I mechabed the second mitzvah? By taking not regular, ordinary bread, but mitzvah bread. Fine. So it becomes an extra special special Lecha Mishnah. There's another way of learning it. And this other way of learning it is not just different, but it's almost opposite. And that is that it's a kovod
to the first mitzvah.
Once a bread has been used for Erev Tavshilin, it would be considered perhaps a bizoyin to that bread if it was now eaten just for breakfast. So rather, when it's going to be eaten, it should be used again for a mitzvah that shouldn't be downgraded. So you're not trying to be mechabed Lecha Mishnah. Rather, you're trying to be mechabed Erev Chatzeres. The first mitzvah is the beneficiary, not the second. According to the first way we explained it, the Lecha Mishnah is the beneficiary. Why is the Lecha Mishnah the beneficiary? Because when I want to make the second mitzvah, I use mitzvah bread. According to the other way of understanding it, no, it's a covered for the first mitzvah. The fact that you're not downgrading. That's a very important difference in understanding the two ways that you could learn this cloth. Now, I'll give you perhaps one proof. What happens if a tzitzis, one of your strings of the tzitzis, becomes snapped? Now, I'm not talking about the beged, whether that's kosher or not kosher, that's irrelevant to our discussion. What should you do with this chut of tzitzis? Now, the halacha is, if you look in the Gemara says it does not need geniza. It doesn't need to go into shemus. Why not? Because the string of a tzitzis has no kedusha, essentially. It's what the Gemara calls tashmishei mitzvah, as opposed to tashmishei kedusha. If, for example, the ritzuos of your tefillin become worn out and they need to be replaced, then you have to do geniza. But the tzitzis do not. What's the difference? The difference is because the ritzuos are connected to the tefillin, which have the shemos of Hashem. That's kedusha. Some people don't know this, by the way. Your tefillin box, the outside box, the plastic, if ever that needs to be replaced, it needs geniza. Why? It's not a dovar shebe kedusha, it's a tashmish de kedusha. Why is it not a dovar shebe kedusha? Because it doesn't have the shem Hashem in it, but it was serving something that did. People don't know this halacha, very important halacha. Whereas your chut of tzitzis neither does it itself have the Shem Hashem in it, nor does it serve the purpose of anything that has the Shem Hashem in it. What does it serve the purpose of? A mitzvah. Your esrog, for example, after Sukkot, does it need gniza? No. It says in the halacha, you shouldn't throw it in the garbage. That's a bizoyin. That's a bizoyin. Don't throw it in the garbage. Don't step on it. The famous maisa with the Chassam Sofer. Two Talmidim came to his yeshiva at the beginning of the winter to be fahed, and he accepted the lower standard Talmud. And when he was asked why, he said, because I thought of the other one. And he was on the way to yeshiva, he saw some schach from a sukkah lying on the street, and he trampled all over it. Not covered for a mitzvah. But the schach doesn't need geniza. Why not? Again, because it's not a dovash of a kedusha, neither is it a tashmish to kedusha. Okay, so strictly speaking, therefore, a chut does not need geniza. It's true, the Ramah says there's an Indian to do geniza, but me'ikar adin, it does not need geniza. Okay, so what must I do with it then? What do I do with it? I don't need to do geniza, but you just told me I can't throw it in the garbage, so what should I do? So the real eitzah is, you're allowed to throw it in the garbage if, for example, it'll be wrapped up. Because then it's not a bizoyin. Ah, you're not doing geniza. We just said you don't need geniza. If you look in the poiskim, the Ramos in Hilchas Tzitzis says that what? Instead of throwing it out, albeit it doesn't need geniza, use it as a bookmark. The poiskim there say, if I'm not mistaken, it's a Maharil. Why must he use it as a bookmark? And he quotes this Gemara. Because hoil v'syavid be mitzvah chada, navid be mitzvah achrita. Okay? Now, does anybody agree to me that from that halacha, I think I can bring a very strong proof to one of the two understandings in this principle of Hoyel V'Yisiyavid Be. From this halacha, I think there's a very clear proof. Again, we said there's two ways of understanding it. Either it's a kavod to the second mitzvah, or it's a kavod for the first mitzvah. This principle, this halacha that it says you should take your tzitzis and use it as a bookmark, is that a proof to approach number one, or a proof to approach number two?
First mitzvah.
In other words, approach number two.
Yes.
Okay. Avram, what do you tie now?
Two is one.
One.
Is it a covered for the first mitzvah or the second mitzvah?
It's covered for the first.
It's the first mitzvah. Why? Because there is no second mitzvah over here. Putting a bookmark in a sefer is not a mitzvah. So how can you tell me once it's been used for one mitzvah? Use it second time around for another mitzvah, but I'm not using it for a mitzvah. It's a bookmark. It helps me know where I'm up to. So what do I see for over here? That it's a kavod for the first mitzvah. What is a kavod for the first mitzvah? Because it was once used for tzitzis. So instead of just throwing it out, at least use it for something respectable, albeit not a mitzvah. So at least its home will now be in a sefer, not in the garbage can. So I see clearly that the inyan is not to mechabed the second mitzvah, but rather the first mitzvah. If the whole inyan was to be mechabed the second mitzvah, then which second mitzvah are we dealing with over here? So that would be a very, very strong proof. Now, I want to ask a question, which we will not answer, but it's food for thought. And maybe it's dependent also on this shaila that we're discussing now. I've got a question. I've got a shaila. The Gemara says there is a principle that if something was used for one mitzvah, it should be used for a second mitzvah. And what was the example of the Gemara? The first time round it was used for Erev Chatzeiros, and second time round for Lecha Mishnah. I have a shaila. Forget Erev Chatzeiros. Every single Shabbos of our lives, we make a bracha over two breads. Presumably, you're only going to eat one. So why don't we say, take the second bread and use it for Shabbos morning? And then take the second bread again and use it for Shalosh Shudos. Because that way, if it was used for one mitzvah, you're using it for a second mitzvah. Why must the Gemara mention an example of Erev Chatzeirois and then talk about Lecha Mishnah? Why can't we just keep local? Just talk about Lecha Mishnah itself from Nachman. Every time you have a spare bread from Lecha Mishnah, use it again for Lecha Mishnah and use it again for Lecha Mishnah. It's a big kasha. The way that the Gemara words it is I Misrami. What does Misrami mean? Whatever they would chance upon on the rare occasion they made it. Why is it a rare occasion? Every single Shabbos you have a Lecha Mishnah, so use the second challah for the next morning. And then third time round, use it for Shabbos afternoon. This question was asked to me by my brother, who lives in Manchester. He asked me this question about 10 years ago or so. Less. So he wanted to say a chiddush. I listened to his chiddush and tell me whether you agree or disagree. He wanted to be mechadish. But the principle of hoyel de isyavid lo mitzvah, etc., etc., is only when you're talking about two different mitzvahs. But not if you're just doing the same mitzvah again. There's no inyan of using Lecha Mishnah Challah for Lecha Mishnah. There's an inyan of using Erev Chatzeirois Challah for Lecha Mishnah. That was his chiddush. Big chiddush. But if his chiddush is true, then that answers the Gemara very nicely. So do you know what I asked him in return? I said to him, one second, there are two ways of learning this principle, as we just discussed now. According to one of the two ways, then his chiddush, l'chayra, makes no sense whatsoever. We said it might be, the principle might be in order to mechabed the second mitzvah, or it might be to mechabed the first mitzvah. Do you agree to me that according to one of those two approaches, maybe both, but certainly according to one of those two approaches, l'chayra his chiddush doesn't really make sense? Remember, he wants to say that this principle only applies when you're doing two different mitzvahs, but not when you're just merely repeating the same mitzvah again.
Work in the case where you would mechaved the first mitzvah, because there is no second mitzvah.
One thing, in this case,
separate, second mitzvah.
Therefore, what? I would say the opposite. I would say that if the purpose is to mechaved the first mitzvah, then who cares if you're doing the same mitzvah again? The main thing is, don't use it for your plain old Sunday breakfast, because that's a downgrade. We don't want it to be downgraded. Using it for Lecha Mishnah again surely can't be worse than using it as a bookmark for a Sefer. If the principle is to be mechabed the second mitzvah, what are you bringing to the table, as it were? Lecha Mishnah? It's anyway a Lecha Mishnah Challah. So what have you achieved? If you pile up the mitzvahs, very, very choshem, so then maybe his chiddush is correct. But if the principle is not to mechabed the second mitzvah, but rather to mechabed the first mitzvah, and the principle is don't downgrade something that was used for a mitzvah, so if you're allowed to use, or if you're supposed to use a string of a tzitzis for a bookmark, then presumably you should use a Lecha Mishnah Challah for Lecha Mishnah again. Why not? Better to use it for that than to use it for your barbecue on Tuesday supper. Okay. I'll cop on him. There are many, many, many proofs this way and that. It's a hakir that everybody can think about. But either way, we do certainly have a kasha. Why does the Gemara only say an example of a Lecha Mishnah using an Erev Chatzeiros? What can you say? Lecha Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah. In other words, this should be negeh for us every single week. We've never heard of such a thing.
The example that the Gemara is using, Erev Chatzeiros, according to Rashi, would imply then you're not using it for Lechem Mishnah because you can't use it until Sunday, until after Shabbos.
No, you can't.
Well, but then if you're using the Erev Chatzeros, the bread for the Erev Chatzeros, does that imply basically that you have a problem with the
As long as it was there in the beginning of Shabbos. Let's have a look at
it.
Says the Rama, v'ha'erev einoi tzorech liyos kayom. The Erev does not need to be in existence, rak bein hashmoshes. As long as the onset of Shabbos, it was still around, that suffices. V'yuchal lo'ochloi, and you're allowed to eat it, k'shevadai chashecha. Once it gets to Laila, you can eat it, no problem. Says the Rama, v'yesh liftsoya alav b'shachris b'shabbos. You should eat it. I'm not sure why shachris. Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, hatam hoyil v'isyavid beichod a mitzvah nas by mitzvah acheres. Now, v'after yuchal ochlo igam parvis, for that purpose you can use it at night as well. Says no, it's better shachris because sometimes you eat your suda and mari before nacht. If you make early Shabbos, then I don't want to tell you to use your challah for the night because then it won't be around Ben Hashmoshes. You've just gone and killed off your whole area. Fine. Okay, very good. That's the principle. Zot the Gemara, Daf Mem on the Manala. Okay, this was probably the longest we ever spent on one Omid, 3 weeks, but it was a difficult Omid, very complicated Omid. Omar Rav. Toil baruch, einoi tzorich levorich, hove melach, hove lifton tzorich levorich. We're now switching topic completely, and we're learning for a little bit the halachas of hefsek. Hefsek. Whenever we talk about hefsek, the overlying principle of hefsek is hesach hada'as. What does that mean, hesach hadas? Removing one's mind. I know, if I make a brach on an apple, baruch atah Hashem, and it came melech olam, borei pri o'etz, and before I've had a chance to eat the apple, I talk. And I meet my friend, and I say, oh, hello, how are you doing? I can't now go and eat my apple. Why? Hesach hadas. Hesach hadas, it's a hefsek between the brocha and eating. Once I've begun eating, there's no problem, I can talk. But I cannot have a gap between the brocha and the item over which I made a brocha. So here, what do we mean, toil baruch? Says Rashi. Habitzea, top Rashi. Habitzea, the one who, what does Beitzea mean? We've had this word a number of times.
Cuts.
The one who cuts the bread, koidem she to'am min ha'pruso. If before he tasted from the slice, botsamimeno, he cuts from it, vahoishit, and he passed a piece of bread, lemisha etzloi, to somebody else with him, vahomaloi, and he said, toil mi prusas habrocha, quote unquote. Take from the brocha slice. That's what it means. Toil baruch. Take from the brocha. Take from the brocha. Afal pi shesoch beintayim. Even though he spoke in between. Remember, as Rashi said, this is all taking place prior to him
eating.
Once he's eaten from the slice, he can say what he likes. But he hasn't yet. By the way, Rashi doesn't point this out, but it's not lachatchila. You're not supposed to do this, by the way. You're supposed to cut the slice and eat it yourself. Then you cut for everybody else, and then you talk. But we're not talking about a lachatchila situation, but that's what he did. He cut the slice for himself, didn't yet eat it, cut a second slice for the person next to him, and said to him, here, take this and eat it. Afal pishesoch beim tayim. Even though he spoke in between, meaning in between the bracha and the beginning of the eating, ein tzorich lachzer ulavarech. He does not need to go and repeat his bracha. Why not? The afal gav de sicha hava hafsoka. Even though talking is a break, talking is considered a hafsoka. In other words, you could in theory have told me that maybe a hafsik is only when you go and, for example, involve yourself in a total, completely different activity. I make a bracha, and then I quickly write a letter. Or if I make a bracha, and then I scramble an egg, so I can understand that's a hefsek. You're involved in a completely time-absorbing and mind-absorbing activity, but merely to speak, well, I only said two words, toil bruch, so why should it be a problem? Says Rashi, no, in theory you might think it is. Afal gav de sicha hava hafsaka, even though talking is considered a hefsek, how do I know? Kudominam b'menachis. As it says in the Gemara Menachos, soch bein tefillin letefillin, tzorech levareich, if he spoke in between one tefillin and the other, then you need to make a new bracha, v'chein b'kisui hadam. So too with kisui hadam, if you made the bracha over kisui hadam, and then you spoke, then you need to make another bracha. So therefore I would have been excused for thinking that what? That the same should apply over here as well, that if you spoke in between making the bracha over the bread and the eating of the bread, you should have to repeat your bracha. Says Rashi, hach sicha tzorech bracha. What does that mean, tzorech bracha? It's necessary for the bracha, it's in context of the bracha, v'loi mifsika, and is not therefore considered a hefsik. Now, this is going to be a big chiddush. Let's take this slowly. I made a bracha over the bread, I cut the bread, I haven't yet eaten, I pass it to you and I say, here, take the bracha slice, it's not considered a hefsik. Why is it not considered a hefsik? Even though dibur is normally a hefsik, but over here it's different. Why? Because it's tzairach bracha. Now, these two words are absolutely key. Now, before we examine them more closely, let's continue the Gemara a little bit. Because the second line of the Gemara says, Hove melach, hove livton, tzorech levarech. Melach is salt, and livton is?
Relish?
No?
Could be some sort of seasoning or dip. How does Rabbi Artscroll translate? It's some sort of dip to add pleasant taste to the bread. So there it says, Tzorech Levarich. That was the opinion of Rav. But Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees, says the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, no, afilu if he says, quote unquote, heviu melach, heviu livton, close quote, nami ein Tzorech Levarich. He also does not need to make a bracha. Says Rashi, second narrow line. Heviu melach nami ein tzorech levarech she'afzu, because this also is considered tzorech bracha. It's also considered necessary in the context of the bracha she'tehei prusa shel bracha, so that the slice over which you made a bracha ne'echeles b'ta'am should be eaten in good taste. Remember, we discussed in our last sugya, there's different types of bread, but there's some type of bread which is pas she'eino nekiya. So if you have to add a bit of salt or flavoring it to it in order to give it a pleasant flavor. So if I therefore say, bring me the salt, that's not unrelated. That's tzorech habracha, because it's appropriate that the slice of bread over which I make my bracha should be pleasant tasting. Now we're going to see this in further depth in a moment, but just let's continue a Gemara. The Gemara says, Govil Luturi Gavil Leturi. This is the world famous principle. Mamish world famous principle. As you can well imagine, this whole subject of Hefsek is an all encompassing subject. It encompasses so many, many different mitzvahs. Every mitzvah we can discuss, the halachos of Hefsek. So therefore, whenever you want to talk about an example of speech which is very necessary for the mitzvah, everybody always quotes, Govil Leturi, Govil Leturi. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Govil Leturi, Govil means mix. Es ha-murson. Murson is?
Bran.
Is?
Bran.
Bran, animal food. B'mayim, letzeirech hashvarim. For the purpose of the oxes. Now, Latura, remember we've said this many times, if you want to switch Aramaic into Hebrew, replace the tof with a shin, so instead of Latura, it's shura, which is a shin. So, govil, shura means mix for the shvarim. Mix the bran with water so that it should be edible for the shvarim. Now, I would have thought that what?
Got nothing to do.
That should be a classic hefsek. What are you busy discussing the animals for? And the Gemara says, no, that's not a hefsek. Why not? Says the Gemara, first opinion says indeed it is. Govilaturi, govilaturi, tzorich levorech, you've got to make a new bracha. Rav Sheshes Omar, that no, afilu govilaturi, nami ein tzorich levorech. Why would you not have to make a new bracha? The Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav, asur laodom sheyoichal koidem sheyitein machol lebehemtei. It's osa to eat before you've given food to your behema, shenema, it says in Shema, the pasuk we said this morning. It says, I will give grass to your behemas, and only afterwards, v'hodar, and then v'ochalto. And only then will you eat the savata. So you see that the Torah gives precedence to animals, which means you are not allowed to eat. There's a lashon of osa over here. Osa. Famous shayla, by the way. Somebody has an aquarium in their house. Are you allowed to sit down for lunch if you haven't fed the fish? Seriously. A parrot at home, you have a pet cat. The Gemara says it's an absolute issa, and therefore when I say govilaturi, that's not therefore a hefsek. Why is it not a hefsek?
Because you can't eat without.
Because you're not allowed to eat without.
It's the first opinion. It's the first opinion before Reb Sheish is a continuation of Reb Yochanan.
I'm not sure.
We're asking, what is a hefsek according to Reb Yochanan?
No, I'm not sure where the period goes. Reb Yochanan Amar Afilu Avi Melech Avi Lifta Nami Ein Tzorach Levarech. Period.
He's saying he hasn't defined what a hefsek is so far.
A hefsek would be anything which is totally unrelated. If I say good morning to my friend,
so isn't that what Rabbi Yochanan is saying?
For example,
that's
the example. So Govilaturi, I'm not sure if that's him talking. If that's him talking, then Rav Sheshes is arguing with Rabbi Yochanan.
Right. That's not the case.
I remember somebody knocked on my door once and said he made Kiddush, and I mentioned this once. He made Kiddush. And he noticed that his daughter was standing right next to the Shabbos candles, and her hair was like a millimeter away. Just about to drink it, and he said, "Hey, careful, your hair's almost in the fire." Oh no, now what do you do? It's a hefsek. Not tzorich habracha. Might be very necessary, might be pekuach nefesh, but just because pekuach nefesh doesn't mean it's not a hefsek. Somebody makes a bracha, borei pri yoetz, over an apple, and then he has to take care of a dying person. Very big mitzvah, it's definitely hefsek.
Why is it, in this case, you don't hold by the concept of pasuk b'mitzvah, pasuk b'mitzvah? So the fact that he's made kiddush, but he hasn't drunk from the wine, and then he's saying before he's drunk, he says, "Oh, good, you got to go take care of the animals." Why is not he's involved in a mitzvah? So why is he not?
Because it's an issa. He was involved in a mitzvah by issa. Issa by mitzvah is only when you permissibly are doing a mitzvah. I'm davening, and an oni comes to knock on my door. you had every right to start the first mitzvah, so I don't have to put it down. But here, you had no right to make a bracha because you're not allowed to eat.
With the daughter, must be some kind of issue.
We won't discuss the kiddush shaila for a moment, but I'll tell you where, and this is very, very negiah. We first have to ask ourselves an important question, and it's really based on the next Gemara, and I think, therefore, it'd be worth our while seeing Gemara first. Omar Rav Bashmuel Mishum Rebechia Ein Haboitzea Rashoi Livtsoya Ad Sheyaviu Melach Oy Lifton Lifnei Kol Echod VeEchod. The Boitzea is not allowed to cut the bread until you've brought Melach or Lifton in front of every single person. As we just said, we'll see, to give it a good taste. Rava Bashmuel Ikla, he once was a guest in Lebei Reish Galusa, in the house of Reish Galusa, which was Rav Chia. Afikule Rivta, he brought out a bread, Ubotza Lehedya, and cut immediately without waiting to put salt on it. It says Rashi, Ubotza Lehedya, Kloimar Miyad, Loi Himtin, and he did not wait Lemelech V'Lifton. Now what's going on? This is Rav Chia, and Rav Chia himself said, you're not allowed to eat until you've brought salt there. So Omer Leih, they said to him, what's going on? Hodar mar mishmaitzi? What does that mean, hodar mar mishmaitzi? Has the master retracted from his opinion that you have to bring salt? Omer Leih said to them, less dain. Dain means this. This bread does not need tzarech b'sheish, does not need to be waited for. This bread you don't need to wait. Normally you do need to wait. You've got to put salt there first, but this you don't. Why not? Says Rashi, b'sheish means ikuv, to wait. What he meant to say was that pas nekiyo hizu. It's clean bread, and therefore v'eino tzricha lifton. It doesn't need lifton. So I'm learning from the Gemara over here, two sides of the coin. Under ordinary circumstances, or unclean bread, you're not allowed to eat until you put salt on it. Why? Like we said before. Because you should make a bracha, or you should eat bread which tastes nice. If it's pasha ein nekia, then it doesn't taste nice, therefore you dip it into salt. We had a story over here where he didn't quite do that. That was different because it was past Nikia. Okay, so now let's go back to the beginning of the sugya. Rav says that if you say toil bruch, you don't need to make a bracha. But if you say hove melach, hove lifton, you need to make a bracha. And Rav Yechon disagreed. He says, no, even avio melach, avio lifton is also not considered a hefsek. Now, if I see the second part of the Gemara that says that what? That you have to dip your bread in salt, unless it's very special bread, then l'chayra I would have said that is absolutely tzeira chabrocha. Which is exactly why Rabbi Yechanan disagreed with Rav. So we need to understand, what does Rav hold? Why indeed did Rav hold that Havei Melech is considered a hefsek? Why is it a hefsek? Why is that any worse than toil bruch? When I say to the person sitting next to me here, take the bracha bread, then he says that's not a hefsek. So why would I tell him to dip it in the salt? Is that considered a hefsek? Why is that worse? Let's have a look at the Shulchan Aruch a moment. Look in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Vav, Siv Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Kolelu abrachis, this is the general principle, tzorich shaloi yafsik, to not make any hefsik bein bracha la'achila. Don't make a hefsik. That is the general principle. Kuf Samach Zayin Sif Vov. Yoichal Miyad. Once you make a bracha, you should eat immediately. V'lo yosiach b'im bracha la'achila. Don't speak between the bracha and the eating. V'im soch tzorech lachzer levorech. And if you did speak, then you have to go make another bracha. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ela im kein, unless hoiso hasicha b'dvarim me'inyan dvarim shemavorechin alof. Unless you spoke about things which are the same inyan. What would be an example of that? The goin shebeirach al hapas. For example, he made a bracha on the bread. V'koidim she'ochal, and before he ate, Omar, he says, heviu melach oiliftam. Okay, that's the example of the Gemara. Or he said, tnu leploini lechoil. Give the bread to somebody here. That was the other example of the Gemara. Or tznu meichel lebehema. That was the third example of the Gemara. V'kiyetze be'elu enoi tzarech levorech. Now we need to know, says the Rama, mikol mokim lechatchila lo yafzik klal. All of these cases are also to make a hefzik lechatchila. But the evidence, as we said, is not considered a hefzik. But lechatchila, one doesn't speak at all.
B'di'evit, you do not repeat an eating.
B'di'evit, you do not need to make a bracha. Why?
Part of the inyan of the bracha.
Because it's all me'inyan ha-bracha. Now, l'chayre, there is a distinction to be made. If, for example, you say, of all those three cases, which one would you say, l'chayre, is the best example? The one that we can most understand, you do not need to take a bracha. We said three cases. Give my friend to eat, dip it in salt, or give it to the animals. Which one would you say, or maybe more than one,
salt,
are the best examples?
Salt.
Salt.
It's part of the eating, it's part of the bracha.
I would say also the animals. Because in both cases, the Gemara says the lashon of osur. It says it's osur to eat before the you're given to your animals. And then it also says, or doesn't quite say also, but it says, Ein haboitzea rashoi, also means the same thing as also, not allowed. So for in both of those cases, both with regard to salt and feeding the animals, at the moment there is an issa to eat the bread. So therefore by dipping the bread in salt, or by feeding the animals, that's actually helping the brocha. Why is it helping the brocha? Because without it, not allowed to eat. Either because the bread doesn't taste nice, not covered with the bracha, or because the Torah says you first have to feed your animals. So either way, that is absolutely tzorech habracha. The bracha needs it.
But I feel like one is
a hafzakadas
and one isn't.
Neither I have to. You'd have to make a new bracha. You'd have to make a new bracha. Neither of them have
hafzakadas. Animals, of course, you're going to forget that you were eating bread.
And it's forgetting. You're not involved in a different activity. That is involved in part and parcel of
eating.
Because part of eating is feeding animals first. That's not considered a different activity.
But the Gemara's case is one way of saying you have to go knead the dough or knead the bran in order to feed the bran.
Right.
So it's like it's a step removed.
Doesn't matter. You're involved in activity which is necessary for your food. If the animals have to eat and the food isn't yet ready, then this is an indispensable part of that process. If it's not considered something unrelated. And if you didn't have the bran and you'd have to say go and buy the bran, then that would also not be a hefsek.
So why wouldn't it just be a bracha batala?
It's not a bracha batala.
But it was an issur, you couldn't have done.
No, the issur is to eat, not to make the bracha. The issur is to eat, you're allowed to make a bracha. The issur is you're not allowed to eat before the animal.
Why isn't that a hefsek hadas then?
I just said, because it's necessary for me to do in order to be allowed to eat.
Okay.
If I'm going to be involved in hanging a mezuzah on my door, that might be a very nice mitzvah. What's that got to do with my eating? But feeding my animal is absolutely to do with my eating, because you're not allowed to do one without the other. Go and buy the mursan, go and mix it, go and feed it to Daisy the cow. That's all absolutely necessary in order to be allowed to eat. Therefore, the bracha needs it. It's not considered a hefsek hadas. Not considered a hefsek hadas or a hefsek. So too, if I say dip it in salt, because the bracha needs it. Why does the bracha need it? Because you're not allowed to eat as long as
you haven't fed your animals.
As long as you haven't fed your animals.
But the first one, the fellow doesn't really.
But in the first case, when I say toil baruch, take the bracha bread, that in my eyes is a very big chiddush. I'm offering my friend a slice of bread. What's that got to do with my bracha? Why is that considered seirecha bracha? The bracha needs me to say that? The bracha can live very happily without me saying that. It can't live happily if I don't dip it in salt. And it can't live happily if I don't feed the animals, because in either way I would not be allowed to eat. But I'm allowed to eat if my friend doesn't eat.
Are kids the same as the animals? You have to feed your kids first.
I won't tell your kids that you asked that question. But the answer is no.
There's no one to feed your children first.
Unless it's pekuach nefesh, which it might be. And your kid says, "I'm starving. You know, I haven't eaten in almost 10 minutes."
Can we say that this inyan of salting the bread is completely different from the inyan we're used to now, where you?
Yes.
Rem is to putting on the mizbeach.
Right. We'll see about the mizbeach shortly. Tosis will mention it. Yeah. Okay. Our bread, the whole dipping of the salt, is more ceremonial nowadays. When you do put salt or don't put salt. But either way, this principle of toil bruch is a tremendous chiddush. Because l'chayra, that's not to do with the bracha. Although it's not unrelated to the bracha, but l'chayra, there's a big distinction to be made between something which is bracha related or bracha necessary. It's necessary for me to dip it in salt. It's necessary for me to feed the animals. It's not necessary to give my friend a piece of bread. The bracha doesn't require it.
This presupposes that we understand that the bread that's in front of us has no flavor.
Right.
If I know that my wife makes delicious
bread. That's what the Gemara said. That's the next line of the Gemara. That's why the Gemara said that the Rebbe Galusa, he cut bread and ate it immediately. What's going on? Says this bread is clean. Less din, sarach b'sheish. This bread does not need to wait. Fine. So whenever we talk about salt, we're talking about bread that you do need to wait for. But either way, I see this Gemara as a tremendous chiddush. Now, I want to leave off with a question. A phenomenal kasha. A phenomenal kasha. And the reason I want to mention it is because it's to do with our Gemara, and it's also in Yonah D'Yema. I'm not going to answer it. Everybody can think about it. Maybe on Tuesday we'll discuss it again. First day Rosh Hashanah, Mitzvah Shem, we blow the shofar, we make two brachas. Bracha number one, Lishmoya Koyel Shofar. Bracha number two, Shechiyah. Massive discussion on the second day. Do you make a bracha of Shechiyonu, yes or no? Big discussion. What's the discussion? Is it considered a separate day? Is it not considered a separate day? It's a big machlokes. So if it's a machlokes, what do you do with the bracha? We have a principle, Sofik brachas lahakil. How can you make a bracha of Shechiyonu? So just as an aside, Me'ikadin we paskin that you can make the Shechiyonu. But akoponim, l'chayre, technically it's a sofik. If it's a sofik, I can't make the brachas, what do I do? So the Rishonim say, I've got an Eitzah. What's the Eitzah? Have in front of you a new fruit. Or the Baal Tekeah should be wearing a new suit. Then you can make a bracha, oh, Shechiyonu, on what?
A secondary item.
On your new
suit or
fruit or suit, whatever it may be. And that way you've avoided the shayla. Beautiful Eitzah. Now, as I mentioned, Allah Chalamaisa, if they don't have a new suit or don't have a new, Allah Chalamaisa, you're allowed to make Shechiyonu. But that's the Eitzah of the Rishon. There is a phenomenal kasha on this Eitzah. What's the phenomenal kasha on this Eitzah? The Eitzah L'chaira doesn't work. It's inherently flawed. Why is it inherently flawed? You know why it's flawed? I've got a suffix over here. What's my suffix? Whether I'm mechuyev to say Shechiyonu. Why? Because it's Rosh Hashanah? Or perhaps not. And if not, I'm going to say Shechiyonu on a suit. I want to ask you a question. If I make Shechiyonu on a new suit, everybody agrees that's not a bracha levatala. It's a correct bracha. A new suit absolutely requires a bracha of Shechiyonu. So let me ask you a shayla. Imagine you made a bracha on a cup of water. You're just about to drink the water and then somebody brought you an apple. So suddenly you said, before you drink the water, Borei Priyo ate, and you ate the apple. Was that bracha a bracha levatala, the Borei Priyo ate? Was it a bracha levatala?
Well, because you wanted to eat the apple.
You ate the apple. Was it a bracha levatala or not?
No, but
absolutely not. Why should a bracha levatala? If you eat an apple, you have to make a bracha. Why is it a bracha levatala?
But the first one.
I didn't ask about the first one. Again, you made a bracha shakal near bidvarai over water. And before you did so, you made a bracha bari priyates over an apple. Is the bari priyates a bracha levatala? No, it's a classic bracha. What happened to the shakal? You just killed it off.
That's the problem making shechiyah.
Why did you just kill off?
Object.
Why did you just kill off the shakal? Because you made a bracha, albeit it's not a bracha levatala. I made a bracha on an apple, that's what you have to do. But what's the apple got to do with the water? What do you bring an apple to the water situation? That's a hefsek. If so, the Rishonim asked, the whole Eitzah of a Beged, Chodosh, and Rosh Hashanah makes no sense whatsoever. Why does it make no sense whatsoever? Because Mimonash.
Has nothing to do with Bonash.
We have a suffix. We don't know whether Rosh Hashanah is Mechayev Shechiyonu on the second day or not. Now, I don't know. So let's try and hedge our bets. If it is Mechayev Shechiyonu, then I don't need the new beggars. And if it's not Mechayev Shechiyonu, then the bracha of Shechiyonu on the beged, albeit it's not a bracha levatala, but what's that got to do with Tkiya Shofar?
You have it in mind.
But it might not be Mechayev on Tkiya Shofar. It's a suffix. Remember, why am I saying Shechiyonu? Because I'm worried that there might be a 50% chance that Shofar does not require Shechiyonu. It's a 50-50. I don't know the real answer. Now, on the 50% that it does require Shechiyonu, so for the whole bracha was zero, I don't need a Shechiyonu trip anyway. So the only reason I'm making a Shechiyonu baguette is because I'm worried there's a 50% chance that what? That Shofar does not require Shechiyonu. In the world of that 50%, then Shechiyonu has nothing to do with Tkiya Shofar. So what are you going to say? I made a bracha on a suit. Very nice. What's it going to do with Tkiya Shofar? That's absolute. It's a phenomenal kasha. The Rishonim, by the way, say this Eitzah, and other Rishonim contend the Eitzah doesn't achieve anything. Why not? Because you've killed off your whole bracha on the Shofar. You just made a hefsek. That's like saying Borei Priyo Eitz after Shehakol. It's not a bracha levatala. It's not a bracha levatala. That's the bracha on an apple. This is the bracha of a new suit. Very nice. What's a new suit got to do with Shofar? I'm not saying it's not right. Why is it right? The kasha is a huge, huge, huge kasha. What are you going to say? No, maybe it's not, because maybe it really is Chayev Shechiyonu Shofar. If it is Chayev Shechiyonu, I don't need to make a bracha on a suit. So the only reason I'm making a bracha on the suit is because I'm concerned about the other side of the coin, that Shofar doesn't require Shechiyonu. If it doesn't require Shechiyonu, what are you busy talking about suits for now?
You can just switch the order. Just like you do, we take a talk about a case of a new fruit. So we always say this, maybe you should say the Shechiyonu before you say the Borei Priyates, simply because you want to sort of have no hefsek between Borei Priyates and eating it. So what?
we don't do this, but we could turn it around and say
you're saying a new eitzah. You're saying a new eitzah. But we don't. That wasn't the eitzah of the Rishonim. The eitzah of the Rishonim was to say Tekiyah Shefa, a bracha on the Shefa, then to say Shechiyanu, and to think about your new suit. Very nice. What's the new suit got to do with the Tekiyah Shefa? Huge, huge kasha, everybody can think about. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Mitzvah Hashem, we will start next time. First, we're going to see the Tosfos of Mitzvah Hashem. Top Tosfos. That's to do with the sugya that we just learned. And then, Be'ez Hashem, we will continue later on in the Gemara.